for months or weeks or years. She worked for you a matter of days.
The new nanny quickly became a nuisance.
The mother came to pick up the children, smelled the marijuana, called Children Protective Services.
But it wasn't the end of Dad's adventures in babysitting.
She came to my residence at 11 o'clock at night, screaming, "Give me my money."
Did she call you before she came to your residence?
40 times. She came there high on methamphetamines.
Judge Judy. You are about to enter the courtroom of Judge Judith Scheinlein. The people are real. The cases are real. The rulings are final. This is Judge Judy. 23-year-old nanny Kara Simpson is suing her former employer, Matthew Elwood, for unpaid babysitting fees.
Order. All rise. Quiet in the courtroom.
Case number 379 on the calendar, in the matter of Simpson versus Elwood.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Judge Parr has been sworn in. You may be seated. Mm-hmm. Folks, have a seat.
Mr. Elwood, you needed a babysitter for your two children.
Yes.
You have custody of your two children?
Yes.
How long have you and their mother been separated?
Almost a year.
And you have primary full-time custody?
Yes.
Is that by court order or consent?
Yes.
Court order. How old are the children?
My son is 20 months and my daughter is 5.
What kind of work do you do?
I'm a driver.
What kind of a driver?
Truck driver.
So you work odd hours, you have different assignments. So you needed a babysitter and you hired the plaintiff, and she says you owe her some money. Say, not only don't you owe her any money, but she owes you money because she caused you some distress. And the reason she caused you distress is because when the mother of your children came over to visit, she was concerned because she smelled marijuana around the plaintiff, and she called Child Protective Services, and they got involved with you. It caused you emotional distress.
That wasn't what it was about. The distress that was caused to my children was when she came there high on methamphetamines. She came to my residence at 11 o'clock at night, banging on my door, kicking on my door, screaming, "Give me my money," and my children were there.
Okay. How many days did she babysit for you, and give me the dates?
She babysat for 3 days, and I believe it was...
3 days in total that she babysat for you?
For this case, it was...
No.
Oh, in total,
For this case, I want you to tell me how many days she babysat for you in total.
We had 5 days, maybe.
And your agreement was that you were supposed to pay her $100 a day?
Correct.
How many days did you work for him?
8.
Which days did you work for him?
November 7th, the November 8th, and then it goes down to the 12th.
Just a minute. Then you didn't work for him again until the 12th?
Yes. It was the weekend, and it was a long weekend.
11, 12. Go ahead.
The 13th.
12th, the 13th.
14th.
Yes.
And the 15th.
Okay. Well, that's 6 days, not 8 days.
Okay. 6.
He says 5. You say 8. Both of you were wrong. Had to be someplace in the middle. Are you counting a day that you went to his house when he didn't answer the door?
No, not yet.
So you actually worked those days?
Yes. I was there 24 hours sleeping.
That's okay.
There.
What hours did you work on the 12th?
On the 12th, I got there at 4 a.m. and he got home about, I would say 9 o'clock.
9 in the morning or at night?
At night.
And the 13th?
I stayed there overnight with him. He told me he was too exhausted.
No. Just a second. So you stayed from 9 p.m. on the 12th, and you stayed overnight into the 13th?
I was there on the 12th. I was there at 4 in the morning.
4?
Mm-hmm.
But then he came home at 9 p.m.
Yes.
Did you go back to your house at 9 p.m.,
ma'am.
Or did you stay?
I stayed.
You stayed. And on the 13th, what time did you leave?
I didn't leave, ma'am. I stayed until up to the 15th.
So you stayed and spent the night?
Yes, ma'am.
And what time did you leave on the 15th?
It was about 8, 7 or 8.
In the morning or at night?
Okay, and those dates that she just gave you, the 14th she left, and that was when I paid her $300 in cash that my witness can testify to. She left on the 14th. My work schedule was from 7 to 7. I was working on a show where I was only doing 12s.
And on the 15th?
The 15th, she only worked for 3 hours because my ex came, and that was one of her visit days. So my ex came in the morning, took our daughter to school, came back, got our son, because she told me she was leaving, going out of town on a family trip. She couldn't work the full day.
So how much did you pay her for the 15th?
We agreed that for that day, we were going to do $40. And the original agreement was that we were going to do $100 a day. And the way it worked was at the end of my job, when I got my check, that I was going to pay her. But because she had stated that she was going out of town on a family trip, I had told her that, you know what, here, why don't I do this? I owe you for 3 days. Why don't I pay you for those 3 days now? Because I got paid, I got the cash. I'll pay you for those 3 days, and then tomorrow you're only going to work for 3 hours, so how's $40 sound? She agreed to $40. My witness can testify to that as well. I then said, okay, well, we'll take that $40 and put that at the end of next week, then that's when I'll pay you.
Thank
on the Your 18th Honor. Is when she came to my residence at 11 o'clock at night, demanding her money, and she was completely drenched in sweat.
Just a second. Did she call you before she came to your residence?
No,
listen.
Yes, 40 times.
Just a second. So, careful. She called you for the first time asking for her money on what date?
On the 18th.
What time?
The phone call started at like 7 o'clock in the morning.
Was she supposed to come on the 18th? The answer is yes.
Yes.
And she arrived at your house at what time?
4 in the morning.
Which is the time you usually leave.
No.
Yes.
My hours were normally from 5:30 till 6 p.m.
Did you get up late on the 18th?
I did. Absolutely. And I...
What? Just a second.
I had failed to set the alarm on my phone. In which case, when I woke up, I had contacted her right away, started calling her, texting her, saying, I'm so sorry.
What time? You would have it on your phone.
It would be around 7 o'clock.
Yes.
That I started texting her and calling her, asking her, please answer your phone. Let's work this out. I'm sorry. It was my fault. I failed to set my alarm, and my phone was on vibrate. It was an accident, and I do apologize.
Okay.
Will you please call me back or answer your phone so we can work this out? Never heard back from her at all. She wouldn't call me back. So then I end up calling a mutual friend of ours that was looking for work and asked him if he could come down and fill in for the day. He came down and did the job. Well, that was the day that all of a sudden I had Department of Children's Services show up at my house. 2 hours later, Sheriff's Department showed up at my house.
If that wasn't her.
No, no, absolutely.
That
I'm not saying that it was. It was because of the fact that they smelt the marijuana on her.
Nobody smelt marijuana.
They did smell marijuana on her because she confessed to smoking pot.
Just a minute. Show me. Show me.
Show you what?
Show me a police report. Show me a something that says that. That's what I'd like to see. Great.
Right here is a tick report that shows that they were...
I just want to see a report where it says that the police officer smelled, tasted, whatever.
Your Honor.
No, she wasn't there when the police...
There is no cop.
Came.
Just a second. Then it doesn't exist. Then it's hearsay, unless you have a police officer with you. Did you ever pay her for the 18th?
She did not work on the 18th.
Yes, she did. She arrived at 4 o'clock. You weren't up. Did you ever pay her the $40 that you agreed to pay her for the 15th?
No.
Okay.
Which I don't dispute that I owe her that.
What kind of sneakers did you leave there, or carriage?
Adidas with the white lines.
Do you know where they are?
No, there's no Adidas.
I left them where his kids leave their shoes at, under the little counter. Because I walk his kids to school every day and back, so I brought my own walking shoes instead of sandals.
This is the first time even hearing about this.
Okay. And what about a carriage? What kind of carriage?
It's a stroller. It's a $20 stroller. His stroller was too heavy for me to climb upstairs with, so I brought my own from home.
Do you have that
Absolutely.
Stroller?
And I had asked her to please come and take her stroller.
Where?
When she came to the residence demanding her money, her stroller was right outside where she left it. And I'd asked her, when I told her, I want you to leave my residence and don't ever come back.
Why didn't you take your stroller?
There was not there, ma'am. It was only his big stroller.
That's not true at all.
Yeah, I don't think I believe you. Okay, you owe her $140. Now, this counterclaim that you have was for her coming to your house and banging on the door and asking for her money?
No, it was because my children were in the home. She started kicking the door and knocking things off the walls. And I kept telling her, you know what? I'm going to call the sheriff's department if you don't leave. My children are here. They see you. She's drenched in sweat. Skin is greasy. The pupils are dilated. And I said, you're high. And she said, and that's when she told me, well, I smoke pot. I said, no, this isn't pot. You're high on methamphetamines. And she said, oh, I don't do that stuff. And I said, so but my ex said that she smelled marijuana.
Don't tell me what your ex said. I'm not interested what your ex said.
Okay.
She may be an expert on drugs, your ex. I don't know.
Okay.
Listen to me. I'm not sure, and she's not even here. You owe her $140. Judgment for the plaintiff. That's all.
Please excuse me. Step out.
She sat there and admitted that she smokes pot, but she doesn't do methamphetamines.
I think he's for lying on TV saying that I'm on drugs.
You can't be at 11 o'clock at night sweaty as hell, looking like you just ran a marathon.
When I'm not.
Coming over there, demanding money, speaking in a term that was so fast.
I knocked on the door asking for my money. He should have given me my money.
And my witness had a hard time even understanding what she was saying.
It takes one to know one, so he's definitely on drugs also.
What sets me the most is that my children had to see this and be involved in this.
I'm going to sign contracts and make sure they give me money up front.
And now I fear for other children that are out there that this woman might be watching.
And now, the next case.
All parties in a matter of Adent versus Delaney. Step forward.
Deborah and John Adent are suing their neighbor, Howard Delaney, for damage to their pool caused by his horse.
Mr. and Mrs. Adent, it is your claim that Mr. Delaney's horse damaged your pool in your house to the tune of a little over $2,000, and you want him to be responsible for the repairs. Mr. Delaney said it was not his fault that the damage was caused to your pool. The incident occurred because there was a severe windstorm, is that right?
There was severe windstorm, sir. Yes, Your Honor.
And on what date was the windstorm?
December 17th, 2012.
How long have you been neighbors?
We moved into the property in 2009. So prior to the incident, it was about 3 years.
How long are you there?
I've been there 27 years, Your Honor.
And you have a horse? One horse or more?
One horse at the time of this incident. I've had more horses on the property previously.
How many acres do you have?
5.
And prior to the plaintiffs moving in, was there a fence separating your property and theirs?
The predecessors in interest to the plaintiff's property actually moved in, and I had a chain link fence with cemented posts. When the predecessors in interest to the property decided to build a pool, they wanted a more private setting, so they removed the chain link fence that
I
had.
With your permission?
With my permission, and erected a wood panel and post fence, and that's the fence that ultimately failed.
Judge Judy continues in a moment.
Spoke with Howard. I said, my fence has been compromised. And then he points to his shed as he's leaving. He says, there's wire and stakes over there. Why don't you build a fence? And I just said, you just reassured me this horse would never come in my property.
No.
Real cases, real people. Judge Judy. Deborah and John Adent say neighbor Howard Delaney owes for damage to their pool caused by his horse. Howard claims the damage is due to the Adent's negligence.
So prior to the plaintiffs moving in, you had erected a fence that was not as attractive but sturdier.
Correct.
And for several years, the fence that the prior owners had put in adequately separated the two properties and kept your horse from going onto their property.
It did.
Is that correct?
Yes, Your Honor.
Good. So now there is a windstorm, which is an act of God, which takes down your fence, right?
Yes, ma'am.
And when it took down your fence, his horse was able to get into your backyard and cause damage to the pool.
Yes, ma'am.
Did you see this happen?
Yes, ma'am.
Why don't you describe it to me?
On the morning of December 17th, I watched the first fence panel come down in the high winds, knowing that the only destroy our backyard because the rest of his property was fenced was his horse. I went and knocked on all his doors. No one answered the doors. So I went across the street to our neighbor and I asked if she could please call him. And she called him on his home and cell phones. He answered the cell phone, I believe. And she handed me the phone. I spoke with Howard. I said, my fence has been compromised. I'm worried about your horde. And he said, I'll come over in a few hours. Later, his son, Matt, and he showed up. By then, I'd lost a couple more panels to the high winds. And he tried to prop them up, and he said, I can't fix your fence. I said, Howard, I don't want you to fix my fence. I'm worried about your horse coming into my backyard.
Why didn't you fix your fence?
Ma'am, there were 70-mile-an-hour winds, and the ground's frozen. I can't build a fence. I didn't know what to do. And then he assured me, ma'am. He said, there's no way my horse will step over those down fence panels. She said, there's no way she's coming in your backyard. And I said, Howard, what am I going to do if I find your horse in my backyard? She said, call me. I said, well, I don't even have your phone number, Howard. So he came in the house. He wrote down his phone numbers on a piece of paper, which I kept. And then he says to me, he points to his shed as he's leaving. He says, there's wire and stakes over there. Why don't you build a fence? And I just said, you just reassured me this horse would never come in my property.
No.
Judge Judy continues in a moment.
Let us assume there was a tornado. Do you think he would be responsible for the damage?
No.
So you are qualifying what is termed an act of God and what is not.
Real cases, real people. Judge Judy.
Deborah and John Aiden say neighbor Howard Delaney owes for damage to their pool caused by his horse. Howard claims the damage is due to the Aiden's negligence.
Now, how is he going to reassure you that an animal who roams free, and as you just said, there is fencing around all the other property except that was not downed as a result of the winds?
Correct.
The only downed fence was yours. Your fence was clearly inadequate.
Yes, Your Honor, but it's not the first time the horse has been out of his pasture.
It doesn't matter. The only weak link was yours. Yeah. I don't know why you think he's responsible.
Your Honor.
Yes.
Go ahead.
May I answer that, Your Honor?
Sure.
Your Honor, the revised code of Washington, which I have, clearly states that we are not responsible to keep his animal off our property. It is responsibility of the owner of the animal to keep it off our property. I have the code here, and it says, I read it?
Don't read me from the code. Most codes say the owner of any animal, their responsibility is to keep their property adequately safeguarded so that their animals don't trespass on other people's property. The problem is Mr. Delancey had done that. And when you inherited property where the prior owner of your property had taken down his secure fence. Now, you had the capability, if you wanted to build another stronger fence in addition to what I consider more of a decorative fence in order to keep his horse out. The problem is your decorative fence had served its purpose for 3 years. Then there was an act of God, like a windstorm. Now, if there was a windstorm, as your wife says, that's no different from there being a tornado. Let us assume there was a tornado, and the tornado sucked up all the fences, and his horse got out. Do you think he would be responsible for the damage?
In that circumstance, ma'am, no.
So you are qualifying what is termed an act of God and what is not.
Judge Judy continues in a moment. Want justice? Go to judgejudy.com. Like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter.
So you're saying, well, it's an act of God, but it's a little act as opposed to a big act like a tornado or a hurricane or a typhoon. And the reason your swimming pool was damaged is because your fence fell down.
And he doesn't have one, Your Honor.
It's our fence.
It's on our property.
Listen to me. You're not following. He had one. And you knew, or should have known, that there were other kinds of fencing. You're a homeowner. That's more than just decorative fencing.
It's not decorative fencing, Your Honor. It's a 6-foot cedar wooden privacy fence that's sunk in concrete.
Listen to me. It didn't hold.
I understand
that. That's not his fault. That's your fault.
The horse isn't my fault, though.
The fence is your fault, which permitted the horse to enter your property. You should have put up a stronger fence if you wanted it.
He doesn't have a fence to take his horse up from
well.
I've just explained myself to you 16 ways from Sunday. You may not like the result. No. I don't find him responsible for your down fence, which is the primary reason that horse got out and caused damage to your swimming pool. You knew he had horses. You bought the property knowing that he had animals. He says he's had animals before you moved in. Is that true?
Yes, Your Honor.
So you knew he had animals, and you knew that one of the reasons for the fence was to keep the animals out.
No, Your Honor.
Were satisfied that your privacy fence was sufficiently secure to keep the animals out, so be it. And it was for 3 years. This was an act of God for which you don't get compensated. Goodbye.
Why's our excuse? You may step out.
Judge Judy continues in a moment. And on the next Judge Judy.
We're going to have to go to city and request that his fence be placed 10 feet off of our fence line to keep the horse from coming back.
I had fences that would suffice.
While the fence was under construction, the horse came back.
The Aidens actually took down my temporary other fence.
And I had to stand out there guard in my own backyard to keep their horse from coming on my private property.
When they built their new fence, that's why she had to guard. They didn't tell me they were taking down my fence.
20 firemen, 8 trucks, 3 hours later.
Actually, the firemen nor the police got the horse out of the pool. It was a friend of mine and I built steps.
We had to extricate him from the pool with steps had to be built in my pool.
I hope we can just go back to being neighbors. They were reasonably friendly before.
Well, we're not neighbors. He's just the man who lives next door.
But unfortunately, I understand they've sued the neighbors on the other side in a small claims court over another matter. So they seem to have issues with their neighbors.